Praise God. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. Well, go with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. We're looking at following the Holy Spirit in the last couple services. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. And I will do, after we pray, a quick review, not spend a whole lot of time on review. They are online, but just kind of an overview to get us caught up real quick. One of probably the most important things you can learn as a Christian, how to be led by God. Amen. Father, help us tonight. We're just so grateful and so thankful for the opportunity to meet, to be in your presence, to be in your house. Father, we don't take it lightly or consider it a small thing. And Father, to stand behind this pulpit and to share your word, Father, I don't count it lightly. I don't count it as something that's just some repetitive action. No, Father, this is the opportunity to minister your word to your precious people. Lives can be changed here tonight. Destinies can be overturned here tonight. People can make a turnaround here from one service. So, Father, we thank you. And Lord, as I open my mouth, I trust that you'll fill it with words from heaven, that my words will not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you I will speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you for boldness tonight. I thank you for utterance. And I thank you, Lord, that the things that will come out of my mouth will strike a chord and hit the bullseye of every hearer's heart here tonight. And Father, I thank you. It'll cause us to go to a new level of glory. Father, we will be blessed from this service. We give you the praise beforehand. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, some of my most favorite verses in the Bible because of what it says and what God offers us here. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding." What's that mean? Not your own ways, your own thinking, what you think's best, your own opinions. But then verse 6 is such a good invitation from him. It says, "In all your ways acknowledge him." What's that mean? Include him in everything.
Amen.
"And he shall direct your paths." Hallelujah. What is God offering you? He's saying, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, acknowledge me and I'll direct your paths. Now, you might be like me growing up, you know, I didn't want God to have anything to do with my life because I had a wrong idea of who he was. But when I found out who he was, found out what he did for me, found out the price he paid for me, found out how he felt about me, oh man, do I want him directing my paths. Because you might think, well, I don't want God directing my paths. No, you do want God directing your paths. Go with me real quick to Ephesians 2 and verse 10. And Kim Law, you can just go ahead and pull that right up in the Amplified right off the bat. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And what's the Amplified? Just amplifies it. You know, the Old Testament was not written in English. The New Testament was not written in English. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek. And the Amplified brings out those meanings of those Hebrew and Greek words. It does what it says it does. It amplifies it. And look what it says. So we just got done reading that God endeavors, if you'll not trust in your own ways and do things your own way, he says, if you'll acknowledge him, he said, I'll direct your paths. Well, the big question should be to everybody, do I even want God directing my paths? Because if you find out how God directs paths, you'll start acknowledging him a little bit more in all your ways. It says, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us." Now notice this, taking paths. Well, what did he say? I'll direct your paths. He says, taking paths which he prepared. What's he saying to you? I have a path for you. Remember he said, don't do things your own way. Acknowledge me and I'll direct your paths. What's direct the paths? The paths that he's already prepared. Now, do we want those paths that he's already prepared? Well, let's look at the rest of the verse. Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. I'm here to tell you, you should walk in God's plan. You should walk in God's way for your life. Why? The result? Living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready to live. See, a lot of people have a wrong idea. They get their idea from God, from the news, from media, from religion, from preachers, from family members, from friends. I get my idea of God from his word. He is who He is in His Word. The Word reveals who He is. Exactly all the characteristics of Him, how He feels about you, what He's done for you, what He wants for you. And the Bible says that the paths that He's already prepared for your life ahead of time will cause you, if you'll walk in them, to live the good life. What's the good life? Not a life of sickness and disease. Not a life of depression and poverty and stress and fear and anxiety. It's called the abundant life, or the life that Jesus prayed for His people. Heaven on earth. God didn't send Jesus to die for you so life would be hell on earth. The Bible says, Jesus said, I came to give you life, Zoe, the God kind of life, or the life like God enjoys it, and that you'd have that life more abundantly. I don't care what you've been taught. I don't care what you've been told growing up. I know I grew up in a place that said that God didn't care about your money. God didn't care about your body. God didn't care about anything else. Just hold on. Just get through this life. And then when you get to the sweet by and by, well, I'll tell you what, that's a pretty poor excuse for a father. Because the Bible says when I got saved, I became His child. And listen, if I didn't care about my children's health, my children's wealth, my children's well-being, you'd call me a deadbeat dad. God is not a lesser of a father than I am. He's a greater father than I am. And I'll do anything I can for my children to bless them and to help them, just like you would as for your children. So the good path, praise God. Now here's the problem, and I like to always mention this because it's just so true. You know, people have been spinning their tires, going around the same mountain of financial poverty year after year. Go around the same mountain of depression and anxiety and fear year after year, spinning their tires and making a rut in the ground in the same sickness over and over, crisis and turmoil all the time. It's just nonstop year after year. Now, I'm not talking about seasons of testing. I'm talking about people living in lifestyles of constant chaos, a lifestyle of sickness, a lifestyle of poverty, a lifestyle of depression, a lifestyle of anxiety and stress and fear. That's not the good life. And see, those things that you're stuck in that rut, that's what a rut gets you in, right? You spin your wheels, you get stuck, it gets deeper and deeper, and you can't get out. God is a genius. He's already been to your future and back. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and He's the end. He sits from a perched position in heaven looking down on your life. And see, sometimes when you're in the forest, it's hard to find your way out. But if you sat from a perched position above the trees and you saw yourself on a little satellite beacon, you said, it's easy to get out of those woods. Just make a right there, take a left there, go over that little creek, go over that little hill, and you're out. And God sees you in your situation, in your financial mess. God sees you in your physical mess. God sees you in your relationship mess. God sees you in your business that's a mess. And you're spinning your wheels. And we're just, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. And we're being unskillful. Isn't it amazing that God, as your Father, if you choose to do so, He will let you live sick. He will let you live poor. He will let you live depressed. He will let you live full of anxiety and stress. He absolutely will let you. But He offers you better. What's He offer you? My path. My path. What's my path? The good life. You know, I have a little girl. Her name's Abby, and she's 6 years old. And not so much anymore because I've told you before, I've banned her from going in the woods with me. Because I get her all the way out in the woods, and then she wants to go back. And it's not your band. You're banned until this gets better, but I would take her out when she was real little. And, you know, when you're 3 years old, 2, 3, 4 years old, you're not really paying attention at much, and there's a lot of obstructions in the woods that aren't there for a 40-year-old guy like me, even though I'm not much taller than her. They're catching up real quick, you know, which isn't saying too much anyways, but she's walking, you know, and it's easy for her to get smacked in the face with a branch. It's easy for her to end up in poison ivy. She doesn't know what that is. It's easy for her to end up in the briars and the prickers, right? It's easier for her to fall in a hole or to fall in the mud and get dirty and get cut up. It's easy for her. And so being a loving dad, you know what I say to her when I go in the woods, knowing there's going to be this obstruction, I say, Abby, stay right with me. Stay on daddy's path. Stay right in daddy's path. Why? Because daddy sees when there's briars and we'll go around that way. Or daddy sees when there's a log, it's going to trip you up. Or daddy sees when there's poison ivy, we got to avoid that. But you know what Abby does sometimes when she's a little girl? She just gets off doing her own thing. And I'll be on my path and I'm not getting poison ivy and I'm not getting cut up and I'm not falling in the mud and I'm not getting hurt. And there's Abby over here doing her own thing. And all of a sudden she comes back crying, or she gets stuck in the prickers and can't get out, or falls down in the mud, or something happens and she's all upset and all sad. And how many of you know that was unnecessary? Oh, the devil must have been after her. Nope. No. See, we give the devil entirely too much credit. We do a good enough job our own selves getting in our own way. Abby had a choice. Stay with daddy and you'll be blessed. Stay with daddy. Don't get in front of daddy. Don't get off to the side. Stay in daddy's paths. Why? In daddy's paths in the woods, it's the good life. No prickers, no hurts, no. Amen. And people do it all the time. People do it all the time. Well, and here you are. Well, God's sitting from a perch position. He knows exactly how to turn your finances around. Yeah, just do that, do that, do that. Oh, your oh, just do that for your relationships. Oh, that thing in your body. Oh, that's how you're going to fix that. Oh, your business is struggling. I know how to fix that. The genius sits up in heaven, and we down here just doing our own thing. And he invites us. He says, acknowledge me. What's he saying? Acknowledge the genius. Acknowledge the know-it-all. Acknowledge the future teller. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. But I always say this because it's important to know that we have to be skillful with the Word of God. What's being skillful with the Word of God? Doing what His Word says to do. Not playing religion and not playing church. I played religion and church for years. Many of you played religion and church for years because you told me about it. What's that mean? You just show up and you show up happy and yes, you love the Lord and your heart's for Him, but you don't know anything in the Bible. You don't know anything of what He says to do. You just think it's just, well, if God blesses me, that's great. And if He doesn't, well, just that's okay. He's sovereign. When there's a man side and a God side, God says something, man must do it. Then when man does it, God comes through. Didn't Jesus say the doer of the word will be blessed, but the one that doesn't do the word? He said there's a crash coming. What's that mean? It matters what we do and don't do. Amen. And in the New Testament, he gave us a rule. He gave us a law of how that we're going to hear from him when we acknowledge him. Well, what's he going to do? Is he going to show up in goosebumps? Is he going to show up in tears? Is he going to show up in a feeling? Well, there was a worship song on and, oh, it just moved me and the tears flow and it was just God. No, that was you. I'm not saying God can't be in that, but that's not how God leads. God doesn't lead in the mind. God doesn't lead in the flesh. God doesn't lead by money. Well, this job, but it takes you out of church. You do know the Bible says, they that be planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Yeah, but it takes you out of church and you don't get to hear the word. But the money, oh, led by the dollar bill, are you? Yeah. Well, but my kids don't like going. Oh, you're one of those parents where your kids rule the roost, huh? Yeah. I'm sorry, you bring this out of me. You show up hungry with boldness and let me just say this real quick. I don't give a flooty-tooty what my kids want. They don't know what's good for them. Well, I don't feel like going to church. So you say, well, where's your kids? Well, you have to understand, those of you that don't know, this is my second church I started. My kids are going to South Dayton every Wednesday, every Sunday they show up. And we come out here about once a month if they can. And they know that church comes first, man. Well, I don't want to. So what? It's in a democracy, son. You don't get a vote. Oh, why am I hitting on this? Because somebody in here needs to hear this. Those parents in the body of Christ that let their kids do what they want to do, don't make them go to church, don't make them serve God. You're setting your kids up for a fall. I'm just here to tell you. Amen. Why? Because doing God's word is best. Who do you think you are, Pastor Mike? I don't think I'm anybody. In fact, I think I'm pretty kind of low on the totem pole, but I know what God's word says about some things. And His word is always best. Praise God. And when it comes to hearing from God, how to get out of your mess, He's not leading certain ways. He's leading one way. You got to play by the rules. Tom Brady doesn't drop back, get the snap, drop back, and start dribbling the football. He doesn't play football with basketball rules. He doesn't all of a sudden run over to the sidelines when he gets the football and throw it up and hit it. You don't play football with baseball rules. You try to play football with baseball rules, you'll get in trouble. Well, what are the rules? I'll show you the rules. Romans 8, chapter 14. What am I trying to do? Get you out of your mess. Get you out of your problem. Get you out of that situation that you have no way. I can't figure it out. I don't know how to get out of this financial trial. I don't know how to get out of this problem with my kids. I don't know how to get out of this situation in my job, in my business, in my body. Well, God does. And He knows everything. And when my kids are struggling and have trouble, and I know the answer, I don't withhold it from them. I enjoy seeing you struggle, son. I enjoy seeing you struggle, daughter. No, if I can bless you and help you, I will. If you don't choose to listen to me, that's not my fault, though. Abby, I told you, stay with me. Come on, baby, I told you, stay with me. Oh, I should have stayed with you, Dad. But let me tell you something to give you hope. God's path's this way. You've been off this way for years. You know when Abby goes off in the path and gets caught in the briars and the prickers and starts crying, and she comes back to me and I'll say, you idiot. Get back over there. Yeah, no. I say, come on, baby, let's go. Get on back on Daddy's path. Let's go. Let's do it Daddy's way. Amen? That's what God says. He says, let's go. Let's go right back on the path. Let's get. Tonight could be the night you start right back on the path with Him. It doesn't matter what you've done all those years. You know why? Because you can't get them back. They're gone. They're not coming back. They're not changing. So to wallow around in your past in defeat and condemnation and guilt, it's a waste of time. You know what God thinks your past is worthy of? Forgetting it. Say, how do you know that? Well, He said, I am He in Isaiah chapter, what does it say over there in Isaiah chapter 43? I am He who blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sin. He said, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions. I will not remember, He says. That's what He says. So what does He think about your past? Does He sit there and hold it over your head? No. And if you're beating yourself up, that ain't God, that's the devil. There is therefore now, Romans 8:1 says, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So I don't care what you've done for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years before you walk into this building tonight. Tonight's a new night. You're off over here, time to get back on the path. Why? The quicker you get back on the path, the quicker the blessings start coming. Amen. Praise God. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led. Well, remember what He said. He said, if you'll acknowledge me, I'll guide, I'll direct. Well, leading is the same as guiding and directing. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. How's God leading in the New Testament? He's not leading through money. He's not leading through feelings. He's not leading through thoughts. He's not leading through philosophies or opinions. He's not leading through another person's voice. He's leading through the Holy Ghost. And I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it because I have to say it because someone's got to say the truth. The majority of the body of Christ, and when I say a statement like this, it's not some general blanket statement just to sound sensational or dramatic. It's the truth. I know it because I travel around. I know it because I came out of it. My wife came out of it. Many of you have testified to me that you come out of it. Most people have no clue about anything about the Holy Ghost. In fact, there are churches and preachers that say, we don't want that Holy Ghost business in our services. The Holy Ghost isn't even allowed to be a part of the church. Now, what's the problem with that? The Holy Ghost is the only part of the Godhead still on the earth. God's on the throne, and Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Ghost is on the earth, and the Holy Ghost is not some lesser form, some tag-along to the Trinity. He's God. But most people don't even have a clue. And God says, I'm directing you by the Spirit. Well, no wonder Christians are off in the briars of life. No wonder Christians are off in the mud puddles of life. They have no idea how to be led by God. Oh, Lord, help me in this financial situation. And He's helping you, but you don't know how to hear from Him because you don't know how you're not playing by the rules. I had a lady one time, she was selling a business. I didn't know she was going to sell it. And I saw the for sale sign, and I got a hold of her. I said, I didn't know you were putting that up for sale. She said, well, I don't know if I am. I said, well, it's got a for sale sign. She said, yeah, but I put it up for sale, and if it sells, then I know that was God's will. If it doesn't sell, then that's God telling me. Well, that's funny. Romans 8:14 doesn't say, for as many as are led by a for sale sign. In a business deal, are the Spirit led by are the sons of God? No. See, that's Old Testament garbage. Say, what are you talking about? Well, that's what how they got led in the Old Testament. Why? They didn't have the Holy Ghost on the inside of them. Remember, they would lay out a fleece. Remember that story? Lay out a fleece. When the ground was wet, the fleece should be wet in the morning. But He said, if the fleece is dry in the morning, I'll know it's God. Well, then one day the ground was dry. He said, if the ground's dry and the fleece is wet, I'll know it's God. She said, I'm laying out my fleece. I said, you better start bringing your lambs to the altar and killing them too, because that's what you're living in. It's true. People all the time being led by other things. By, well, it was a better job, and so I know. Well, this person is cute, and they like me. Must be God. Okay, keep living that way, because that's what the Bible says. No, the Bible says they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And the Bible says that when, this is all review here, catching you up. The Bible says when you get born again, that the Spirit of God, this is in John 14 and John 16, comes to dwell on the inside of you. It said, I'll be with you and in you forever. That's what it said. And it said that the Holy Ghost doesn't speak on his own behalf, but he says or shares what he hears. Well, what does the Holy Ghost hear? The Holy Ghost hears from heaven, hears from God. Then he reveals it unto our spirit. Remember over there in Proverbs, it says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Well, what's a candle? Guiding and directing you. How does God guide and direct you? Through the Spirit. Well, how's that work? The Holy Ghost hears from heaven. What? You're struggling financially, seeking God. Lord, I believe in you for a financial breakthrough, believing for help. You said to acknowledge you in all my ways. Lord, I don't know why we keep struggling. I don't know why it just never seems to be enough. How many of you know he cares about that? So you acknowledge him. So then guess what? The Holy Ghost hears how to get out of that from heaven. That's what it says in John 14, John 16. He hears it. What he doesn't speak on his own behalf. He only speaks what he hears. He hears it. He relays it to our spirit. But if we don't know how to be led by the Spirit, we'll miss our answers. He's not talking to us up here. Real quick, pull up 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. I'm passionate about this stuff because I get tired of seeing Christians hurting and struggling. It's unnecessary. It's so unnecessary. Let me come down here because you need to hear this. You have God in you. Yeah. The Bible says the Holy Ghost dwells in you. You have the genius, the all-knowing fortune teller on the inside of you. So why are we doing pros and cons lists? Why are we getting all the opinions of everybody at our work? Come on. Why? Because we don't know. We're looking in the wrong places. Amen. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body. You're a three-part being. Did you know that? You are a spirit. The real you is a spirit. The thing that goes on to live on forever and eternity is the spirit of man. If you've ever been to a funeral that's open casket, you see the body stays. The spirit goes. And so you're a spirit, but your spirit is housed in what we call a body or an earth suit, right? And it also says soul. Notice soul and spirit are different. Spirit, soul, and body. Well, what's the soul? Well, if you study out the soul in the Bible, it's the mind, the will, and the emotions of a person. Now, here's the thing out of that verse. The three things in that verse are going to endeavor to lead you. Your spirit is going to endeavor to lead you. Your mind, will, and emotions are going to endeavor to lead you. And your flesh is going to endeavor to lead you. But the problem with going with your flesh, oh, that feels good, it must be God. Oh, that doesn't feel so good on my flesh, that must not be God. Well, let me tell you something. If I went by my flesh, there'd be a lot of Saturdays I wouldn't be here. That's why a lot of Saturdays you aren't here either. It's true. People go by their flesh. Well, it's really nice outside. Well, I got a lot to do. Oh, okay. Over the house of God, you're not being led by your spirit. You're being led by your flesh. Ouch, Pastor Mike. Well, hey, what would you rather have me say? It's okay to miss church and never come to church and hear from heaven. Answers are getting out here. You know what? Let me just say it this way. You know why I failed tests in school? Not because the teacher gave a hard test to Mike Anderson. I failed the test in school because my answers were wrong. Because the person next to me got the answers right. Well, did the teacher just give us an unfair test? No. He went over the answers throughout the whole year. Gave us homework, gave us things to read, told us what to study. But I didn't apply myself. Well, it's the same thing here. What happens in church? Answers are handed out. And when knock, knock, and hell shows up at the door in the form of a financial test or a physical test or something in your kids, and you say, oh, Lord, help me. When the teacher gives me the test, that's not the time. Oh, teacher, help me. Answers are given out every single Tuesday night, when we're here on Tuesdays, every single Saturday night, answers are given. Why? For the tests that show up. Because your response is how you pass or fail. And so many people, they respond in a religious way of, oh, Lord, he already helped you. He gave you his word. And answers are given out on Saturday night. You know how many times hell's shown up at my door? And I remember I was taught that. My pastor taught me. Oh, I remember I studied that in the word. Oh, I remember I was in that special guest minister meeting, and they spoke about this. I know how to respond to that financial test of trial. Amen. Hallelujah. Why is Pastor Mike pass in life? Because he shows up for the answers. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Is that saying I don't go through things? No, I go through things. I testify about some of the things I go through. But you know what? I always testify about victory. Yeah. Amen. I always testify about victory. Passing grade on that test. Why? I had the answers. Yeah. It wasn't because of me. I had the answers. Praise God. And a lot of people are being led by the Spirit, not being led by the Spirit. They're being led by their flesh. Well, that feels good. Or that. I'm telling you, I'm just telling you right now, it's not the easiest thing in the world when my kids are in school all week. And the only time they're off of school is on the weekends, and Daddy's gone on the weekends. And my kids want me to play on Saturdays, and I can't play on Saturdays. Why? I'm setting myself before God. Well, I don't feel like going. Oh, I'll just go by my flesh. Well, that wouldn't be being led by the Spirit. Wouldn't be blessed that way. My kids wouldn't be blessed that way. Well, I think I should do it this way. I think I should do it that way. No, God's not leading you by your mind. For as many as are led by the Spirit. God is only in the spirit realm. He's not leading you in your brain. He's not leading you in your flesh. And so many people are led by their brains and led by their flesh, and it gets them in trouble. Amen. Oh, Pastor Mike, calm down. Can't do it. Can't do it. Now, we talked about last week and going into this week, because what I want to tell you is you cannot trust your emotions. You cannot trust your mind. He told you to renew your mind and to submit your body. The only thing he told you to be led by was the Spirit. Now, we talked about two men last week, Abraham and Lot. Now, what is it about Abraham and Lot? Well, Lot was Abraham's nephew, and the Bible called both of those men righteous. They were both testified as being righteous, but the outcome of their life looked very different for each of them. Oh, yeah, it did. And we look at the difference between the two last week, remember? Remember, God spoke to Abraham a couple times, but one of the times he said, Abraham, everything you know, everything you're comfortable with, everything that's familiar to you, get up and leave. That's what he said in Genesis chapter 12. From your family, from your kid, or from this area, and just go, I'll show you a place. He didn't even tell him where he was going to go. He just said, get up and go. Well, let me ask you, if God all of a sudden told you, pack your bags and just start going, how comfortable would that feel to your flesh? Not at all. How good would that feel to your mind? Not at all. When God told me to start a second church, I'm just telling you, it didn't sound good at all. When God told me to quit my job and pastor the church full time for free and take care of a son, I had no idea how to take care of a new baby. It didn't feel good at all. I had thoughts on that. And because people's thoughts and feelings are so strong, it just totally voids out what the Holy Ghost is saying. And they go with their mind and their emotion. Well, Abraham could have gone with his mind and his emotion. But know what? He said, no, I know. When God speaks, I listen. Amen. Remember when God told Abraham, take your son, your only son whom you love, up on the mountain? Genesis 22, and kill your son. Well, you ask me, let me ask you this, moms and dads. What would that do to your mind? If God said, take your child and sacrifice them. Now, we know the end of the story. God's intention was never to kill that child. God's a good God. Amen. Right? But what? We know Abraham was willing to do it. Why? He started to come down with the knife, and the angel said, stop! That's one time we're glad the angel wasn't late to work. Oh, man, sometimes you're late to work, it doesn't affect you, but that would have been bad. I mean, he just got there in the nick of time, right? God's right there. He's coming down, he's lifted the knife, and the angel said, stop, there's a ram in the thicket. Well, let me ask you what that would have felt like. But what happened in both those situations? Abraham didn't go with his mind, didn't go with his emotions, went with the voice of God. The voice of God to us now is being led by the Spirit, and what happened? Turned into blessing. But what about Lot? Remember, Lot had too much stuff? And Abraham said, we got too much stuff, you know. And Lot being the younger nephew, he's the one that should have gave up some of the stuff. And I believe Lot should have asked the Lord, should I even leave Abraham? That should have been his first, what do you want me to do, Lord? We got too much stuff, we can't bear us, the land can't bear us. What do you want me to do, Lord? No. He looked, and the Bible says he looked, and he saw the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. But see, he didn't know it was Sodom and Gomorrah like we know it's Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what he saw? He saw what the Bible said, it was like the Garden of Eden. It was fertile. It was a great land. All he saw was dollar bills. He was led by cha-ching. The Bible says Lot lifted his eyes and beheld the plain of the Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what the word says. And so what did he do? He never asked God. Did God know what was going to happen in Sodom and Gomorrah? Yep. Did God know that relationship? Did God know that job? Did God know that place you're going to live? Did God? Yep, he did. Yep, he does. He knows everything. And he loves you. Wants to help you. And what did he do? He lifted his eyes. The Bible said, didn't lift his eyes to heaven. Lifted his eyes and beheld the plain of the Jordan. And the Bible says, then Lot chose for himself. Well, this seems like a good idea. This seems good. This feels good. I'll go this way. How many people I deal with that do things their own way? Well, that's just what I think. It just seems good to do that way. That's just what I want to do. That's what. But the money was more. Well, what did you expect? They were good looking and they were nice to me. You single people, your standards better get a little higher than that. You're a child of God. You're precious. You're wonderful. Amen. Wonderfully made in His image. Amen. Well, they opened the door for me. So what? Come on. Yeah. You don't think the devil can wrap up a stick of dynamite in a pretty box with a pretty bow? Oh! Blows up. It's messages like this that keep people safe. It's truth. And Lot went with his emotions, and Lot went with his mind. And what happened to Lot? And I'll keep it somewhat mild here tonight because of young ears. Lot's wife gets killed, gone, down in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, that great place he decided to go. Lot gets kidnapped, and Abraham has to save his rear. People show up at Lot's door, trying to bust down the door and get to his daughters. That happened. And Lot ended up living his life out in a cave, doing ungodly, unthinkable things with his own children. That's how his life turned out. Study it and read it for yourself. It's in there. One decision. Went to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, here's the thing. The devil will hop on that and say, yeah, but my life, one decision. We now live in the age of grace and repentance. We can ask for forgiveness. It's all wiped clean, and God gets us right back. Here's the thing. When you mess up nowadays as a Christian, and let's say you mess up and it throws you off God's path and you end up in the briars, the pricker bushes of life, when you ask God to forgive you for your wrong, the Bible says He remembers it no more. He says, I will blot out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sin. So guess what? When you're over there in the prickers and the briars, and you say, Lord, I need help. Get me out of this. Help me. Give me direction to get me out. He looks at you and He doesn't see you in the briars and the prickers because you messed up. He just sees His child in help, in need of help. Why? Because He forgot how you got there. So don't let the devil tell you, well, that one decision spiraled and it compounded and this and snowballed and now I'm here and I'm just in trouble. No. Ask God to forgive you for the wrong decision. Now He sees you in a heap of trouble, and there's nothing too big for your God. Nothing too hard for your God. Nothing your God can't turn around. Don't listen to that nasty lying devil. In fact, I would start trash talking to the devil, and I would tell him, I'd say, devil, you always talk to me about my missus. You are the biggest failure and loser that's ever been and ever will be. You were in the very presence of God Almighty, and you still missed it. I mean, he was in God's presence. He saw God on the throne and still messed up. You've never done that. That's who that big blabbermouth is that's talking to you. Start telling him who he is. Well, you can't trust your mind and your emotions. Go to Acts 21 and verse 10. Man, oh man. Came out just fire tonight. Did you mean to do this? Nope. I just follow the Holy Ghost, however he does what it says. But sometimes, you know, you got to pull up stumps. You know, there's stumps in the ground at times in people's lives that hold them back. And then there's sometimes just little weeds. You can just reach down and just yank a little weed out of the ground at times. But those stumps, man, they got to take some extra force, extra digging. Praise God. Acts chapter 21 and verse 10. I want to show you how you cannot follow your mind and your emotions. As we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a prophet named Agabus. So now there's a prophet coming into the town. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle. So this is what you have to understand. This prophet Agabus comes up to the apostle Paul, rips his belt out of his waistline there, takes his girdle. He says, and he bound his own hands and feet. So he takes Paul's belt and binds his own hands and feet. So Agabus is doing this weird thing, takes the belt, binds himself, ties himself up. Why did he do that? It says, ties his own hand and feet and said, thus says the Holy Ghost. So he's prophesying what the Holy Ghost is saying. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle, and he shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. What was Agabus showing? What was going to happen to Paul when he goes down to Jerusalem? The Holy Ghost showed Agabus, if Paul goes down to Jerusalem, bound. Okay? Now, we don't have time to teach on it, but the Lord had already told Paul prior, you're going to go and this leads, him going to Jerusalem leads to him being before great men of God testifying about Jesus, which God already prophesied and told Paul in the beginning, you're going to bear my name before kings, before Gentiles. So it was the will of God for him to go to Jerusalem. But Agabus was testifying, if you go to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen to you there. Well, when we heard these things, verse 12, both we and they of that place besought him or begged him not to go. Why? They got into their mind and they got into their emotions. They didn't ask God, Lord, Agabus is showing us that Paul's going to have a tough time when he goes there, but is it your will that he goes there? Remember when Paul was told over in Acts chapter 16, go down to Macedonia? There was a vision, and Paul saw in a vision of someone saying to him, go to Macedonia. Well, remember, he went to Macedonia, and what did he do? He cast the devil out of a girl. What happened when he cast the devil out of the girl? Well, the people that were making money off that girl kicked the snot out of Paul and threw him in prison. He was beaten, stripped, naked, and bloodied in prison. Well, it was God told him, go to Macedonia. Well, what if the prophet would have picked up on that and said, oh, man, Paul, you go to Macedonia, you're going to end up in jail. So what am I trying to say? Sometimes God will lead you, and the end result will be blessing, but it might be some wilderness time to get through. If you think it's all been peaches and cream for Pastor Mike starting a church in Olean and now moving into Allegheny, you're wrong. God told me to start a church in South Dayton, New York, almost 9 years ago. And let me tell you something, hell on earth broke out. Well, what if a prophet would have said, oh, Pastor Mike, the thing's up ahead for you. I'll tell you about when God told me to go to Bible school in a little bit here. I went to Bible school and listened to the voice of God for the first time in my life, and hell broke loose. Why? The devil was scared out of his mind what was going to happen for me obeying him, obeying God. Well, Paul, don't go down to Jerusalem. The prophet, we know we can believe this man. He's seen it in the spirit. You're going to be bound. Then Paul answered and says, what mean you to weep and break mine heart? That's a good old way of saying, stop your crying. I don't need this right now. Why you're going to make me sad because I'm the one that's got to obey this and you're going to make me sad. He says, what mean you to weep and break my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. The will of God was to go somewhere that the prophet picked up. Might be uncomfortable. Might be a test. Yeah. Can't trust your mind and your emotions. Thank God Paul was a follower of the Holy Ghost, because I'll tell you what, if a prophet would have said something to me before I go somewhere and say, oh man, wait, hell, get ready, you just signed up for hell on earth. I'll tell you what, it's going to mess with your mind. It's going to mess with your emotions. Paul's like, I don't get in my mind, I don't get in my emotions, that's not how God leads. God told me to go to Jerusalem, I'm going. Why? Because the willing and obedient lead to the good of the land. A faithful man will abound in blessings. The doer of the word will be blessed. Praise God. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. So many people can't even do the basic things of God. Be faithful, serve in their church, bring their tithes and offerings. Can't even do that because of their flesh and their mind. Their mind tells you can't tithe. And we want miracles, signs and wonders in our kids, and we can't even follow the book. Come on. If Jesus said you don't do the word, I preached about doing the word last week in South Dayton. I said when you're not doing the word, you're not just in neutral. No, he said you're actually building towards something. He says, great will be the crash and the fall of your life. You're building towards a crash. Might not have happened yet, but when you don't do the word, you're building towards a crash. Well, I don't see it now. Oh, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, he'll reap. Jesus doesn't lie about what he's saying. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. We want all miracles, lead us, God, miracles, signs and wonders. Can't be faithful to go to church. Can't serve in our church. Can't bring our tithes, pay our tithes at our office, robbing from God. Can't talk to people around us about Jesus. Just keep it all to ourselves. Come on. Thank you, Pastor Mike. We love you so much. Thank you. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Well, He's leading by the Spirit of God. Where's the Spirit of God? Proverbs 20:27 tells you, the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. The Spirit of man is the center part of the person, the belly region. Colossians 3:15, it says, and let the peace of God rule. What's rule mean? Be the boss. Take charge. Where? In your hearts. To which you're also called in one body, and be thankful. Now, Kim, why we pull that up in the Amplified? And I'm going to tell you a little story. We like stories. Stories are good. Verse 15. Thank you. And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule. Now look at this. It's telling you that peace has to rule somewhere. It gives you the location, your heart. But look what it gives you the analogy of. It says, let peace act as an umpire continually in your hearts. Now remember that word umpire. Deciding, now what does an umpire do? Well, before the days of recent instant replay, now because now umpire's decisions can be changed, but before the days of instant replay, whatever the umpire said went. If the ump said you're out, you're out. If the ump said you're safe, you're safe. Didn't matter what it looked like, didn't matter what it felt like, didn't matter what you wanted. If the umpire said strike, it was a strike. If the umpire says out, you're out. The umpire says safe, you're safe. And the Bible says to let peace act like an umpire. Doing what? Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which members of Christ's one body. So, the Bible says that you are to let peace decide and settle things in your heart. Peace is to be like the umpire. What is the umpire? Whatever the umpire says goes. I was, it would have been my junior year of high school, playing at Jamestown, for Jamestown High School, and we used to play at, I don't even know what the park's called now, but back then it was Dietrich Park, the real nice park where the Jamestown Jammers played and used to be the Jamestown Expos. That's where our home games were. We get to play in a minor league park for our home games. It was pretty cool. And we were playing a team from Buffalo, and we were batting in the bottom of the seventh inning. You only play seven innings in high school. And in the bottom of the seventh inning, we were losing by two runs. And there was a runner on second, and there was a runner on third, and there was two outs. And I don't remember who it was batted, but hit a little blooper into center field. So with two outs, with the balls hit, you're running on contact. You just take off running. So the guy at second base, if he can get around to score, would be the winning run. So he hits a little blooper into center field. And the center fielder runs in and dives and makes an awesome catch. I mean, I saw it clear as day. People on the bench, because we're on the bench, you know, because we're batting now. We saw it clear as day. He caught the ball. And the umpire says, it bounced! It bounced! Which meant he didn't catch it. The run came on score. We win the game. We're going crazy. The team on the field's going crazy. I mean, they are fired up. They're throwing their gloves. They're in the umpire's face. And there's a gentleman, I'll leave his name out, but there's a guy I grew up with in high school. His dream was to be a radio DJ. And he is one of the craziest human beings I've ever met in my life. And so he's up there on the PA system, and he's just announcing people as they come to bat. And now batting for Jamestown Red Raiders, Mike Anderson, you know. That's the third out of the year. You know, just whatever a PA announcer does. He's not a play-by-play announcer. And if you are a play-by-play announcer, you're not over the PA system. You're on the radio. Well, when they start throwing the gloves, this gentleman clicks the PA system on and starts calling it as he's seeing it. And he's very dramatic and has had this dream. It was like he lost his mind. And he's like, oh, my gosh, North Tonawanda's throwing their gloves. Look, they're in the face of the umpire. Jamestown's going crazy, like what you would do on the radio. But he's doing it over the air, over the PA system, and the people are hearing it. And you see our manager telling him, turn it off, and he's just going and going. And their people are getting madder and madder. True story. But the point was, guess what? We went home winners. You want to know why? Not because it looked like we won, not because it felt like we won, because the umpire said the ball hit the ground. So we won. Well, what does the umpire sometimes say to you? Don't do that. But I want to. But it feels good. No, no, no. You let the umpire decide. Amen. What if the umpire says, yeah, do that? Oh, but that doesn't feel good. That doesn't make sense in my mind. Doesn't matter. What's the umpire say? Most Christians will never cross over. You know, I had Grandma Margaret. Y'all know Grandma Margaret. We talk about Grandma Margaret all the time. Margaret Anderson. Sweet lady, loved Jesus, moral, sick, broke, no victory. But she was a child of God. Yeah, a child of God who didn't know a lick about how to follow God. Y'all know people like that. Come on, don't look at me that way like I'm being mean. It's true. I know for myself, I was born again. I was a born-again child of God, heaven-bound, and I was broke, I was sick, I was depressed, anxious all the time, fearful, stressed out as a child of God. But when I started to learn the Word, apply the Word, follow the Holy Ghost, it's amazing. Things started to change. Glory to God. So he says, let peace rule in your heart, and I want to close talking to you about peace tonight. Go with me to Isaiah 55 and verse 12. Isaiah 55 and verse 12. God has better for you. God has better for you. Isaiah 55, 12. For you shall go out with joy. You shall go out with joy. Yep. If you're not in joy, you're not in faith. If you're not in joy, you're not in faith. That's the truth. If you're not in joy, you're not in faith. Why? Faith believes it has it. Yeah. You know, when I hit... I just ended up buying some elk hunting gear online, and I hit the send button. I hit that send button. I don't have the thing in my hands, but they give me a confirmation number and an email. And you know what I don't do when I get off? Oh, I'm just never going to get it. Oh, it's just, it's tough, you know. It's kind of intense. No, I get excited. I'm like, oh, it's official now. I got the email. I got the confirmation number. That thing's coming. That thing's coming. That's what faith does. You don't have it in your hands yet, but you believe you got the confirmation. What's the confirmation number? Find the verse for your confirmation number. What's the confirmation number on my healing? What Psalms 103 verse 3 is the confirmation number on your healing. What's the confirmation number on my prosperity? 3 John 2 is the confirmation number on your prosperity. What's the confirmation number that my bills will actually get met? Philippians 4:19 is the confirmation number. Well, that was a side journey. It says, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth. Led, directed, guided with what? Wait, what? Peace. Peace. Well, what did the Bible say in Colossians 3:15? Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let it guide you. Let it direct you. Now, let me give you another story here in our little time we have left. The thing you have to understand about peace, that why people miss it, is because it's not spectacular. It's not spectacular. It's supernatural because you're getting led by God, but it's not spectacular. What are Christians always looking for? The angel appearing, Jesus appearing, the audible voice, a word from the pastor, call me up and give me a prophecy. 99.9% of the time, God has led me and everybody else I know, he leads through peace, leads through peace, he leads through peace. Now, if you can't discern, and that's what we'll talk about next week, of how do we discern what that peace is. Because a lot of people say, well, that's peace, that's peace. No, that was your emotions, that was your money talking, that was your mind. Amen. There's a way to know, you can find out. But anyways, that peace, so it's not very spectacular, but it's supernatural. And what is that peace? Well, that peace is that ooey-gooey, nice, warm, honey feeling in your heart. Right? Where you don't have a check, you don't have a scratch. Amen? That peace. And again, if you don't put yourself in a position to hear that, your emotions can replicate that. Your mind can replicate that. Absolutely it can. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Because your head can say no and your heart can say yes, and you better go with your heart. Your head can say yes and your heart can say no, you better go with your heart. You know why I'm here today doing this and we'll have a church service to go to tomorrow morning? Because I learned to follow peace. I'm talking about, I don't even know if I'd be alive. My dad and I had a gym membership at a church in Pennsylvania. We didn't live too far. He had a restaurant in Warren, Pennsylvania. And we had a gym membership there. They had a little gym, and they'd let people come and get a membership for pretty cheap. My dad and I would go down there and work out. And we became good friends with the pastor. Well, in the course of time, there'd be basketball going on there and stuff. And the pastor would see, he saw how I interacted with the youth group at his church. And I've led youth group before. And just have always had a good way with kids and been able to relate to them and help them and things. And that's what he saw. He witnessed that. So we were on the treadmill one day, and he's next to me. And he says, Mike, he says, because I had talked to him over the course of time and told him, I feel called to the ministry. I feel called to the ministry. You know, I had finally gotten saved. Felt like the Lord had something for me. And he said, well, what are you doing about that call? I said, well, in the fall, I'm going to go to Oklahoma, in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and go to Rhema Bible Training Center. He said, why are you going to do that? I said, well, I believe the Lord spoke to me and told me that. He said, wait a minute, you're going to that Bible school that believes in divine healing? I said, yeah, that's the one. He said, well, you know that's not in the Bible, right? I said, well, I'm pretty sure that it is in the Bible, and I waited for him to give me scriptures that it wasn't in the Bible, and he didn't have any. He had an experience and a circumstance. He said to me, you know, Sister So-and-so from my church, she's the most faithful person we had. She said she loved the Lord. She served in everything. She did anything we asked her to do. I mean, she, if anyone loved the Lord. But you know what, Mike, she died of cancer. And she was believing for her healing. If God was going to heal anybody, it would have been her. And because God didn't heal her, God's not a healing God. I thought, oh, isn't that funny? I didn't know we judge God by circumstances and situations, feelings and thoughts. We judge God by the Word. We judge God by the Word. We don't know everybody's situation, everybody's circumstance. He doesn't know behind closed doors. We don't know everything that goes along with everything. There's times as a pastor, I get behind the scenes to other people's lives. And other people that don't get behind the scenes will say to me, I just can't believe they're going through that. And I say, I can believe it. Oh, I can believe it. They don't walk in love towards each other. I had a situation one time. I was at a meeting. I've told you this story before. And the husband and wife were fighting. And the wife wanted him to simply watch a football game with her. And it's usually the other way around. The guy's trying to beg the woman to watch a football game or to get her out of the room. And he said, I'm not doing that. I said, you know what the Bible says? Jesus sacrificed. You're supposed to lay your life down. I don't care what Jesus. And they're just arguing in my office. And after 45 minutes, I slammed my hands on the table. I said, this meeting's over. I said, this was the biggest waste of 45 minutes ever in my life. Goodbye. They still kept coming to church. Can you believe it? That's a true story. That's a true story. Yeah. And people say, I don't understand how so-and-so can be going through stuff. Oh, I understand it. They don't follow God. They don't listen to his voice. They do whatever they want with their money. Come on! It's the truth, and we don't know about behind closed doors. A lot of people put on their church best and are sweet and loving and kind to their spouse and kind to their kids and really compassionate, and behind closed doors, they're a Hitler. I saw it one time. I was over and invited to a church member's house one time. They're not with me anymore. They got offended at me. And I went over to his house, and this person was so sweet in the pulpit. And at home, he was a dictator to his wife and a dictator to his kids. I saw it. Oh, I see why things go on. Okay. Well, I just can't. Well, we don't know why that woman died, but it doesn't change the fact that God's a healer. And he said, don't go to that Bible school. He says, tell me what's going to have to happen if you go to that Bible school. I said, well, it's not going to be an easy road for me. I said, my family won't give me any money to go because before I got saved a couple years ago, I came off of 26 jobs in 2 years in 5 different colleges and some other things that I don't even talk about ever. Just trying to find out what to do, where to go, what to do. And said, they're not going to give me any money, and they shouldn't because they don't trust me, because now I told them I'm going to be a preacher. Can you imagine the eye rolls I got? I mean, I told them, I mean, everything in the book I was going to be. Went to school to be a gym teacher. Went to school to be a speech pathologist. Went to school to be a regular teacher. Told my dad I was going to go to Alaska and be a fisherman. I mean, I just, you name it, I did it. Now I'm going to go be a preacher. Oh, yeah. Preacher Mike, dad would make fun of me. Go get him, preacher. Well, he didn't know I changed. And I said, I got to give you money. I said, my truck's a 1990 Nissan pickup with over 200,000 miles on it. It's got so much rust on it, I threw a snowball through the whole thing. Not because I was a good baseball player, but the truck was so beat up and had such thin metal on it. I threw a snowball through my truck. On the way to Rhema in Bible school, I had a 3x5 card sitting over the little thing that tells you how hot the engine's getting because I didn't want to see it. Because it troubled me so much. I was like, I just got to get there. It's true. And I said, I don't know anybody there. And I said, I just now finally had my first job that I was ever faithful to. And when I go down there, I have to go to school full time and get a job full time. And to talk about coming off the young guy with no morals, no character, no discipline, that was a tough thing for me. But that's the only way I could make it, was go to school from the morning until about noon. Then I went to Reese's Deli from 1 or 2 o'clock till 10 or 11 o'clock at night every single night. And I hardly could even pay my bills when I was out there. And so I said, it's going to be tough for me. I was dating Court, got to leave her, got to go and get away from my friends, go away from hunting, all these things that I was comfortable with around here. The Lord said, go. Well, he says to me, don't do all that. This is what the preacher said to me. Now I just got done telling him God told me to go. He says, I'll make you a deal. We have a Bible school that's affiliated with our church and our denomination. Go up, it's upstate New York, it's in the Finger Lakes. Go upstate New York to the Finger Lakes school. He said, it's what he said. My church will pay for your schooling and give you extra money to live on so you don't even have to get a job. You can just focus on your schooling. He said, and on the weekends, it's just a few hours home. You just come home to everything you're comfortable with. And he said, and on top of that, if you graduate and do a good job there and get good grades, we're going to sign a contract now that when you get out of Bible school and graduate, I'll make you my full-time youth leader, paid positions, benefits, and everything. This is what he told me. Now you tell me what most people would have done. Sign me up, preacher, Oklahoma can wait. All the money, all the comfort was there. The future stability was laid out before me. And if I would have went to his Bible school, I would have been ingrained with God's not a healer. Do you know how many people I've been able to lay hands on with faith and get them healed because I know God's a healer? I would have been told that God doesn't care about your money. Do you know how many people I've been able to pray with and speak over them and believe God and preach prosperity to them, and now they're walking in financial blessing? I would have been inundated with God's not a healer. God's not a blesser. God doesn't care. He would have told me nothing in that school about the Holy Ghost. Do you know how many times I've got my answers from spending prolonged periods of time of praying in tongues? You know that Pastor Mike was the parking lot leader at the Jamestown Church? And I'd show up in my orange vest and I told the Lord, I said, I'll be the best parking lot guy ever. I had to humble myself first because Pastor Michael Loketic, I got back from Bible school and I had preached some good sermons in my tree stand to the trees and the squirrels and the deer, and I thought, I'm ready to go. And he says, yeah, you're ready to go. Go put on an orange vest and stand in the parking lot. Well, that was a heavy blow to take to my little ego. But I humbled myself. I said, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it every week, and I'll do it no matter if it's raining or snowing. I'll be the best parking lot guy ever. And I was out there, and I'd greet people. And people get mad at me and angry with me because I'd tell them to park here. They'd park there. I'd be like, hi, how you doing? They wouldn't even say anything. I mean, church people. And I did it faithfully. I told the Lord, I'll do it forever. And I'm out in the parking lot, and I'm just praying in tongues. Every week, praying in tongues when the people wouldn't come, when nobody out there, just fellowshipping with God. And it was during that special, sweet prayer time of praying in tongues that the Holy Ghost drops up on me, that about knocked me over. He said, you will be a pastor. Say, what? I knew it was called to preach, but pastor, I had such a high value for my pastor. I thought, there ain't no way I'll be doing anything like he's doing. Praying in tongues. If I'd have went to that Bible school, I'd have never known anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, how to follow the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they know nothing about it. Why? They don't teach it. Revelation of righteousness, the revelation of our authority. Wouldn't be here preaching this today. But guess what? Pastor Mike learned a valuable lesson. What? God doesn't lead in his flesh. God doesn't lead in my mind. My mind was saying, yay, upstate New York, no, Oklahoma. My flesh was saying, woo, that sounds real good. The security after my flesh going, oh my gosh, I know this is going to be tough. Long days, 8 in the morning till 11 at night every day just to make it, just to scrap by. But my heart was saying, Oklahoma. My heart was saying, don't you dare go to that. Well, what was Lot's heart? If Lot would have checked in with heaven, heaven would have said, don't go. But Lot's head was saying, go. Flesh was saying, go. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to learn to follow our spirit. What things are we missing out on? Because the only way God is leading you into them is through the Holy Ghost, and we're not even endeavoring to follow the Holy Ghost. That's what this series is all about. Amen? Well, were you blessed tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know. We could talk all night, and I know that's not what you want, but while I'm closing this, let me tell you about the dumb thing I did. I'm in my office at the Jamestown Church, and I get the bright idea, let's get a dog. And the Holy Ghost, I all of a sudden have scratch, fingernails on a chalkboard. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to look at the Buffalo News, and that scratching got louder. Don't look at the Buffalo News. Don't do it. Oh, I found, fresh litter of chocolate labs. I said, I'm going to call on it. The scratching gets louder inside. It's like, I'm violating inside here. And the Holy Ghost is telling me, don't do it, don't do it. I call on him. And then I made the worst mistake a human being could ever make. I called Courtney. And once you tell her and most women I know about a fresh litter of puppies you're looking at, we're going to Orchard Park. Pack up the car. Puppy, here we come. And I had a scratch. Don't tell her about it. Told her about it. Driving up to Orchard Park the whole way on the thruway, just, ugh. My head saying, this is going to be great. Get there and see the dogs. And my heart's, the Holy Ghost is still not letting up. Telling me, no. But they're so cute. And we ended up signing up, putting a deposit down for that dog. And that dog, I'm telling you, I think it could have made Yahoo News, Fox News, CNN, all of it. It was part beaver. All the molding in the house, the new stuff we put up, chewed it up. The dog had separation anxiety. When we would leave, the dog would mess everywhere, so we'd have to keep the dog in the kennel. We'd get home, and there would be mess in the kennel. I mean, it was just a nightmare, no peace. What was the Holy Ghost trying to do? Keep me from that. I messed up twice on dogs. I won't go into the other story. Maybe we'll go to another time. Twice on dogs. I got into my emotions. And both times I got into guilt and pressure because I stink and told Court. I'm like, well, I told her now. I got to get one now. And not that she's sitting there saying you got to do it, but, you know, I felt bad to even bring it up. Follow the Holy Ghost, people. That's what we're trying to teach you. Amen? Thank you for your patience. Father, we love you and praise you tonight. Lord, you're just trying to keep us safe. You're endeavoring to lead us into the good life that you prearranged and made ready for us to live. Father, you're not trying to hurt us. You're not trying to make life hard for us. Even when you lead us into things that we don't understand, even when you lead us into things that naturally seem like it cost us something or is a challenge for us, Lord, you're never trying to make our life harder. You're always trying to bring us into more. So, Father, I just pray that this message would be ingrained, be branded in each hearer's heart this evening. Father, they would endeavor, they would say, you know what? I'm going a different way. I'm drawing a line in the sand. My whole life has been about me and my thoughts, my desires, my plans, my wants, my purposes. I'm going to do it God's way because I know God's way is best. And Father, I pray that they would stop what they're doing and get on your path, and they would start to experience all the blessings that you have for them, Father, walking into things that they never, ever could have ever thought before. But Father, that's the way it is with your way. You're the Ephesians 3:20 God. The God that can do exceeding abundantly above more than we could ever ask or think. So, Father, I pray that for each and every person here tonight, Lord. Now, if I could ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes, please, nobody looking around. Following the Holy Ghost is such a privilege and a joy. He really gave us, when it comes to, like, video games, when I grew up playing video games, you could get, like, a cheat code, and the cheat code would give you more lives or give you an advantage. God gave us the major cheat code. He put himself on the inside of us. It's wonderful, the privilege and what we can do with following the Holy Ghost and what we can avoid and what we can walk into. But even before the privilege of being filled with the Holy Ghost is the privilege of knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. To become a child of God and have our eternity sealed forever in a place called heaven. Everybody ask yourself this question tonight. In your own mind, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that in my head, I don't come back with the answer of I hope so, or I think so, or I'm not sure, that would be nice, I just don't know. No, the answer is 100% without a doubt, I'm going to heaven. And if you don't have that same answer, let me help you. Because I don't have that answer because of someone told me how to go to heaven, or someone gave me their opinion, or religion told me, or my own thoughts. I just did what the Bible said. And the Bible says if I would believe on Jesus, I would not perish, but have everlasting life. So the first thing I need to do is believe that Jesus was real. The second thing he said in Romans chapter 10, he said, if I call on his name, I'd be saved. He says, for with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made. So it's a believing and a receiving through your mouth. Now, church attendance won't get you into heaven. Being a good person does not get you into heaven. Being generous and sweet and moral does not get you into heaven. What gets you into heaven is what you do with Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you're here, you can say, I had a wrong idea of why I'd go to heaven. I thought being a good person, or I was taught doing good things, or I thought, you know, doing religious backflips and jumping through religious hoops would get me to heaven. No, It's what you do with Jesus. If you've never believed and received him, that's what we're going to invite you to do here tonight. Now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't ask you to come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. If you're here tonight, you can say, Pastor, I've never received Jesus officially as my Lord and Savior, and I want to do that tonight. Again, we won't embarrass you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive the Lord here tonight? Don't let this moment pass you by. Again, you're not joining this church. You never have to step foot in this church again to go to heaven. Is there anybody that wants to receive Jesus before we close the service tonight? Just raise your hand nice and high. Father, I don't see any hands in this building. And so, Lord, I trust that everyone's born again. And if they're not, I pray that they would not pass from life, this life, until they've made Jesus their Lord. But, Father, we also have live streaming. We have archives. And there's going to be people that listen to this message maybe right now or in the future that I'll never get a chance to see them. And if you're listening, you say, I'm that person. I'm on the outside looking in. I want to know how to get to heaven. I want to know how to receive Jesus. You just simply have to believe and receive. And all that looks like is this, a prayer like this. Mean this with all your heart. Just say something like, Lord, I believe you. I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I believe that you are Lord Jesus. You died for my sins. I believe that. If you'll do that, that's halfway there. And then just say, Lord, I ask you to come into my heart. The Bible says he stands at the door and knocks. Why is he knocking? Because he wants to come in. But he doesn't come in until you open the door. He's not the SWAT team. He's not rude. He's a gentleman. So just believe and receive. And if you do that, the Bible says you become a child of God. John 1:12 says, for as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. And then the next step for you is to plant in a Bible-teaching church. But Pastor, I thought you said I didn't have to go to church to go to heaven. You don't. But if you want to walk into abundant life and you want to receive all that God has for you and learn the Word of God, you need a pastor. Find a Bible-teaching church, get in that church, plant in that church, and do the Word in that church and watch God bless you. And go ahead and send me an email. Give me a phone call. Let me know you got saved, and we'll get you a good Bible-teaching church. We'll get you hooked up in one. Let's go ahead and let's all just stand up together and worship God as a corporate body. And let's just thank him for what we received tonight. You know, when Grandma cooks a wonderful meal, you ought to thank her. And God made a great meal. I didn't make the meal. I just delivered the meal. So let's thank the chef tonight for what we received. Lord, thank you for our help. Following the Holy Ghost is vital. This could save lives. This could change financial situations. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the following of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, appreciate you. You are dismissed.